This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على أشرف المرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. My beloved brothers and sisters in Islam, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. جزاك الله خير. الحمد لله. Praise be unto Allah who has brought us here to night number 12 of this blessed month of Ramadan. الحمد لله, we completed the second section of Surah Yasin, and we remember the second section of Surah Yasin was the story of the people of a town who received three Anbiya, and then they rejected them and they killed this Wali, one of them that was calling them to Islam, and of course they killed him. And one of the themes was important is the messages that came through beautifully in that section. This pious man, Allah records how he explains the concept of our belief system, our theology, that there is one creator and that he has control over all of the universe and that to him we will return, and so there is no benefit in worshipping anyone other than him. And then of course the way to get to Allah is to follow the messengers which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has sent forth. Of course, these people rejected the messengers and killed this man. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala destroyed them with a scream, with a loud shout. And all of a sudden, they died. So that section was ended when Allah said, how many nations were destroyed? How many people, how many powerful, mighty nations were destroyed? Do we really think? And that is for something for us to think about. Do we really feel safe that something similar could not happen to us on a global scale or even on a small personal scale? And then Allah says that those people are extinct. They will never ever come back. Except Allah says they're going to come back, وَإِن كُلُّ لَمَّا جَمِيعُ لَدَيْنَا مُحْتَرُونَ, that all of them will return to Allah, meaning on the day of Qiyamah. And so it ended off with this concept of resurrection. And we know one of the things which many groups of the Quraysh did not believe is the concept of resurrection. But even today, subhanAllah, when we live in an age of atheism, age of agnosticism, where people reject the idea of an afterlife, and they say, look, it's only this life. What we do, enjoy yourself, you only live once, YOLO, and that's it. There is no bigger purpose to all of this. We just are stuck on this little ball in the middle of space, and that's it. And subhanAllah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us He will bring us back, and He's going to give us a sign for us to be sure that Allah brings the resurrection is a certainty. Some people ask, show me an evidence. Why does Allah not give me a sign to prove to me that there will be a resurrection? So Allah says, wa ayatul lahum, and a sign for them. Now we know when we speak about an ayah, we refer to the verses of the Quran, and indeed Allah speaks about the ayat, meaning the verses of the Quran. But in the Quran, the word ayah actually means a miracle. Allah, for example, says, and to Musa he got 9 ayat. For us, we have a whole book of ayat. So Allah says of the verses of the Quran are miracles, and Allah says, I want to give you ayat, not just in the Quran, all around you are ayat. You don't have to look far for these ayat. In front of you are ayat. That is why if we go back to section 1, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that of those people who are arrogant and proud, Allah has made it that they are caged in, and so they do not see. They do not see the ayat right in front of them. So Allah says, wa ayatul lahum, and a sign for them, al-ardu maytatu ahyaynaha wa akhrajna minha habban faminhu ya'kulun. Allah says, of the signs is the earth that is dead, it is barren. A land, you can imagine a land that has not received water for years, maybe completely dead. Nothing grows on it. And then all of a sudden rain falls on it. Wa akhrajna minha, and Allah says, we bring out of it, we extract from that dead earth seeds. فَمِنْهُ يَأْكُلُونَ, of those seeds that come out of it, some of it you eat. وَجَعَلْنَا فِيهَا جَنَّاتٍ مِّن نَخِيلٍ وَأَعْنَابٍ وَفَجَّرْنَا فِيهَا مِّن عُيُونٍ, and some of those seeds, Allah says, we cause that it grows into date palm trees or grapevines, and the earth itself brings source. This dead earth comes alive with springs and ponds. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving us a parable. If we are really in doubt about the resurrection, do we not see how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings life out of something which is completely dead? You know, one of the lectures that stays with all these years, I remember the Imam of Buran al-Islam Masjid, before I became the Imam of the Masjid, alhamdulillah, Dr. Salih, rahimullah, may Allah grant him a high place in Jannah, and all the Imams of old, may Allah grant them all a high place in Jannah. I mean, one of the lectures he gave, he brought a seed, and he said, you know, look at this seed, it's very easy for us to dissect its components, you know, whatever elements it's made of, sodium, potassium, whatever it is, and we can put it in a test tube. So we have the seed in a test tube, and we have all these little elements put together in a test tube. If we were to pour water on the seed and give it, you know, whatever it needs, it will germinate into a plant. But these elements, no matter how much we try, we cannot bring life out of it. And he was explaining the difference between Allah the Creator and us trying to replicate the creation. And we cannot bring about life from something which is lifeless. Even now when we clone things and we make things, we have to begin with something which is already alive. And then from there can life continue. But we cannot take dead elements and bring life out of it. And so Allah says, look at this. If you are in doubt, how? Till today, all our science and technology, we don't know how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings life out of something, elements which begin lifeless, and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings living things. And not only that, Allah says, you eat from it, and you are sustained, your life is sustained from these things. لِيَأْكُلُوا مِن ثَمَرِهِ Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, and so that they may eat of His fruits. Allah mentions ثَمَرِهِ, He puts that pronoun, from the fruits of Allah. وَمَا عَمِلَتُ أَيْدِيهِمْ And their hands have not produced it. In this tafsir, it says that the fruits that you eat, the food that we eat, our hands has not created this. This is from Allah. أَفَلَا يَشْكُرُونَ So will you not be grateful? Will you not be thankful for what Allah has given you free of charge? For those of us, and I hope we remember, we shouldn't forget, this was a reminder from us. If Allah withholds the rains, or Allah causes the land to stop producing its vegetation, nothing we do, no matter all our power and all our knowledge, we cannot bring the rains if Allah withholds it, or cause the earth to bring forth its vegetation. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then asks us, will we not then be grateful and thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? And how we are thankful is just to say shukr, to give praise to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And of course, the way to show your shukr of your blessings is to share it with those who don't have it. When we do these lectures, I hope we remember in Ramadan, one of the points of Ramadan is to feel hungry, and to know that many, many hundreds of millions of people are hungry, especially now in this COVID-19 situation. That just as powerless as we feel when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala withholds the rain, there are those who feel just as powerless each day, not being able to eat because they are searching for the rizq, and it is for us to feed. So everyone, I pray that in this month of Ramadan, the best, one of the best charities the Prophet ﷺ advises us, and in fact so many times in the Quran you'd find the most basic charity is to feed. We'll get to an ayah in Surah Yasin, we're jumping the gun here, but Allah, the only thing that Allah instructs us to do in the whole Surah Yasin, if you look at an action, not a belief, it is to feed people, it is to actually feed someone that is hungry. And so this is how we show gratitude, by sharing that which Allah has given us. So Allah mentions how He brings life out of the dead, and He brings these seeds that bring different fruits. Then He says, Subhanalladhi khalaqa al-azwaja kullaha mimma tunbitu al-ardu wa min anfusihim wa mimma la ya'lamun. Exalted is He who created all things in pairs, from that the earth grows, and from within themselves, and from things which they do not know. Now let's just dissect this ayah a little bit further, and the translation perhaps is not accurate or not that perfect. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Subhana. What is this word Subhanallah, which we say all the time, Subhanallah? Prophet ﷺ says, the one who says Subhanallah, it's as if though he has filled the entire scale. The weight of Subhanallah fills the scale on the day of Qiyamah. This is very, very heavy on the scale. The more Subhanallahs you say, what does the word Subhanallah mean? Subhanallah means how perfect is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It's an exclamation about the perfection of Allah, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is free of any imperfections. He is one. He is beyond His creation. He is exalted in, and the best of praises is for Him. This is what Subhanallah mean. And Subhanallah actually goes back, and it's very beautiful when we see the linkage, how Allah uses this word. Subhanallah comes from the original word in Arabic, is to sabbaha, means to swim. Right? Sibah is to swim. And so the link between how does Allah being perfect and swimming, how do they link together? The one that swims, the imagery is someone that floats and swims above the water. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is above the creation. He is above imperfection. He is constantly above all things. And that the one that is making the imagery of someone swimming is that he is constantly above the tide. That no matter how the tide comes, he is above the tide. And so the idea is that Allah is the one constant in your life. That no matter what changes, the ocean might change, the weather might change, but if you want to remain above the tide, if you want to remain on top, is the one who makes tasbih. And so Allah is that constant in your life. He will always be perfect. Your business might fail, your health might fail, your family might go one way, but the one thing that is always perfect is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And therefore, if you want to be saved, is to make more of the tasbih. If you want to float and not sink, then you make tasbih. So we say, Subhanalladhi khalaqa al-azwaj. So how perfect is Allah who created the azwaj kullaha, all the pairs. Now azwaj, usually it means to be pairs, or those things that are complementary to one another, but it could also mean different types and categories. So for example, in Surah Waqia, Allah says that there are three azwaj. There are three, not three pairs, meaning three types of people. So another way of reading this ayah is to say, and how perfect is Allah who has created such diverse creations, some of which we see in the ground, the plants, the trees, the fruits, how different they are, how many species they are, and wa min anfusihim, and how different inside of themselves, and from themselves, meaning how different we are. We are in pairs, male and female, and then our different colors and our different personalities. وَمِمَّا لَا يَعْلَمُونَ, and creations which we have no clue about. There's so many creations which we are discovering, and we know even in the ayat Allah speaks about creations beyond this planet, that they throughout the heavens and the earth, Allah says He has scattered dabbat creatures throughout the heavens and the earth. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created, and we can only perceive a small fraction of what He has created. So how perfect is He who has created all these diversities? Subhanallah. Imagine, we cannot replicate one of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's creations. Not even the smallest insect or the smallest plant can we replicate, that Allah has created all of these things. So subhanallah, how perfect He is. There's another way of looking at, so this section was about explaining how Allah brings to life a dead earth and makes many, many different creatures out of it, and how Allah brings life from the dead as a reminder about the resurrection. It's something for you to look about and think about. There's also a spiritual dimension here, or a tafsir from a spiritual standpoint. Many mufassirin have said, the dead land, if we follow the analogy, it is like that heart that Allah began speaking about, that heart that is dead. So the heart that is dead, like the disbeliever who does not have Allah in his heart, Allah can bring this heart to life again. And in this analogy, the rain would be the guidance, the Quran, the prophets. This brings the heart back to life. And this heart, once it receives a little bit of guidance and it comes back to life, it begins as a seed. It doesn't look like it's alive. It doesn't look like it has much benefit. It's very small, but it's still alive. It's still something. And then the more nourishment it gets and the more nurturing it gets, that seed then flourishes and it becomes plants and becomes trees, and it then starts to bear fruits even. So now the believer moves on to becoming a better person. The more he does, the more iman, the more worship he does, and the closer he is to Allah, and the more guidance it consumes, this land now becomes a lush garden, and it is of benefit to others. In fact, it might become so beneficial that this heart, even now, this land even gushes forth water of its own, which feeds others that are dead. So it's like that person who's not only now, he's worshipped Allah and he's drawn closer to Allah, he's actually benefiting others. Like the man in Surah Yasin, who was preaching to his own people, he brings others to the path. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, also when Allah speaks about gardens and rivers flowing, of course this is the imagery of the Jannah. And so the concept is, the one who follows that guidance, that rain that comes down, that brings life, it is the way to eternal life, it is the way to Jannah. And so this is a beautiful analogy of being spiritually dead, and the life that Allah brings to it is of course following the guidance, meaning the Quran, bringing the Quran, and that is what will bring you life. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala moves to a second beautiful, really a wonderful analogy. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَآيَةٌ, and another sign for them, وَآيَةٌ لَهُمْ اللَّيْلُ نَسْلَخُ مِنْهُ النَّهَارُ فَإِذَا هُمْ مُظْلِمُونَ, the analogy of, or the ayah of the night. Allah says, I want you to ponder over, think of the night, nighttime, how we nasluh. Nasluh means, it's the verb that is used when someone skins an animal, meaning to peel away, when you peel an onion, for example. So Allah says, do you not see how we peel the day? فَإِذَا هُمْ مُظْلِمُونَ, so we peel the day out of the night, layer for layer, it gets taken out until it is completely, the person is completely in darkness. فَإِذَا هُمْ مُظْلِمُونَ, the night is completely pitch black. وَالشَّمْسُ تَجْرِي لِمُسْتَقَرٍ لَهَا, Allah says the sun runs on a course towards its مُسْتَقَرٍ لَهَا, a fixed point. ذَلِكَ تَقْدِيرُ الْعَزِيزِ الْعَلِيمِ, that this is the determination of the one who is all-powerful, almighty, and all-knowing. وَالْقَمَرَ قَدَّرْنَا مَنَازِلَ حَتَّى عَلَى كَالْأُرْجُونِ الْقَدِيمِ, and the moon, we have determined for it manazil, phases, stages, until it returns like the old date stalk. لَشَّمْسُ يَنْبَغِي لَهَا أَن تَدْرِكَ الْقَمَرَ وَلَا اللَّيْلُ سَابِقُ النَّهَارِ, that it is not allowed for the sun to outpass or reach the moon, nor does the night overtake the day. وَكُلٌّ فِي فَلَقِ يَسْبَحُونَ, and each is swimming, the sun and the moon, they are swimming in their own orbit. Now let us make tafsir of this section. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala begins by saying, and a sign for you is the night, and how Allah strips out the day from it, that how the darkness comes in stages, and then it is completely covered in darkness. And then Allah says, the sun, it runs on a course to its mustaqar, to its stopping point. Now, these two words, tajri, indicate something moving very fast. something which is running, and mustaqar means something which is fixed. What is the analogy between these two things? Something that is, the sun is running, but it's also in a fixed course. From a scientific standpoint, so if we just look at a physical standpoint, originally it was believed that the earth was the center of the universe, and that the sun and the moon, they moved around the earth. And so this was the original concept and the belief. Then of course with science we understood that the earth is in fact moving around the sun. And that's why many people, not so long ago, they accused the Quran of being factually incorrect. They said, ah, you see, the Quran is still based on old science that believed that the earth was fixed and the sun moves. Now with modern understanding, we know that the sun itself is moving, and that the sun is traveling at a phenomenal speed, 720,000 kilometers an hour. For every hour, 720,000 kilometers. That's a mind-boggling speed at which the sun is traveling, meaning the sun and the moon and the earth, all of it are traveling, and they're traveling around the galaxy. The galaxy is like a spiral, and the sun is moving in this motion. So the sun is moving fast in its orbit, but Allah says it is fixed. Why does Allah speak that it's fixed? Because the sun's motions are very, very precise. The sun and the moon, they are in a precise, predetermined orbit. They are on a course that they cannot deviate from. In fact, this course is so precise that if you look at a calendar, for example, if you take a calendar 10 years ago and you look for the 5th of May, 2010, you will find that the sun rose the exact same time as it did today, and it set the exact same time as it will this evening. So the sun's motions is so precise and it is so predictable that we can, you know, model it many, many decades into the future. Why? How is the sun on such a precise course? Allah says, I have made it fixed, that it will rise and it will set as pre-programmed. It is determined. Taqdeer, of course, comes from the fact that everything is predetermined, everything is controlled by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This set course is, of course, by the one who is all-powerful, Al-Aziz, meaning he is dominant and he is exalted over all things. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala determines everything, and so everything follows the course that Allah has set for it. Allah says, and another sign for you is the moon, that we have determined for it phases. So while the sun moves, and usually the sun is used to determine the number of years that has passed, the moon, of course, Allah gave to us to determine the times of the month, where we are in the month. So many of us, we don't even look at the moon anymore. By now, I hope we know how the moon moves. So the moon begins, of course, with a new moon. That's when we go out and there's the moon sighting or the moon fighting that we find. We are searching for the moon to be born. And so the moon is born, and then as it is born, it is a very small crescent, and it slowly becomes bigger and bigger and bigger. And then when you look at the moon towards the middle of the month, and this is the lunar month, of course, around the 14th, 15th, the moon is full. So if you look at the moon tonight, it's close to being full. It's not yet quite full, but it's very close to being full. And then once we pass the middle point, you'll find that the moon begins to get smaller and smaller and smaller. Towards the end of the month, the moon goes back to that crescent, and then it even disappears completely, so we can't see it. And then we go out again, looking, is the moon going to be reborn? And then, of course, will be, when we see it again, it's Eid. And this, of course, is not just for Ramadan and for Eid. It's, of course, for every month. And so then Allah says it comes back. The new moon forms like a very curved yellow stalk. So again, we don't work with date stalks, but Allah says it will appear like the old date stalk. So those who work with the date stalks, if you Google a picture, the crescent looks very similar to that. And so Allah says the cycle of the day and the night are predetermined, and the one cannot exceed or reduce the other one. Not one can overtake the other. The sun and the moon are fixed in their positions. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had determined this is how they will function, and this is how they will float in their orbits, and they cannot overtake each other. Al-falak, kullun fi falaki yasbahun. Allah speaks about the falak, that they are in a pattern, the best way to describe an orbit, really. Remember, these ayat were there, you know, 1,000 years before the concepts of orbits and the motion of space was actually put in place. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is the best way to describe it is like a ship. A falak really is a ship on a course. So Allah says the sun, the moon, they are swimming, they are floating as a ship would do on a lane, and they are stuck on that lane, you know, on a predetermined fixed pathway. And this is very accurate from a scientific standpoint, that everything in the cosmos are floating according to an orbit, and they are stuck in that orbit. And subhanallah, something like Halley's Comet, every 70 years or so, it comes back and we can see it, and then it goes again. For decades we won't see it, but it is on a fixed predetermined course, and it will come and it will follow this course year in, year out, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had determined. So that is the physical aspect. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is wanting to give a message. So we are marvel at the creation, we marvel at the sun and the moon, it's amazing. But what is the imagery Allah is giving us? Well, one way to look at it, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala speaks about the sun on its predetermined course, and we know the sun we use to measure the number of years. So Allah says our lives like that is predetermined on a course. And just as the sun is mustaqar, it is fixed. It will not go longer than its course. It will not go shorter than its course. It won't go off course. Your life and my life is the same. We don't know how many years we have, how many Ramadans we have. The number Allah has given us, we will be stuck on that course, and that is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had intended it. And then Allah also mentions the moon. Look at the moon. The moon is also very similar to our life. We are born, the moon is born. And with great pride and happiness, you know, people wait before the birth of a child. Similarly, we go out, the man kekers go out, they wait to look for the moon. And then we don't know exactly when it's going to happen, but then all of a sudden, alhamdulillah, it is born, the child is born. And then we go through that first few years as a small youngster, and then we grow up until we reach our peak, like the full moon, right? And we at our peak, and we at the might of our power, and we're bright and we're brilliant. And then as we get older, Allah decreases from us. And in fact, later in the surah, Allah actually mentioned it, that as we increase you in life, in age, we decrease you in creation. You become less and less and less, like that moon that is decreased, subtracted each evening. Allah takes a bit more and more away until you actually disappear completely. So we go back to the first ayah. Allah says, look at how we peel away the day from the night. Allah takes away our life. Every moment, every day, bits of us are being peeled away until idahum mudlimun. We are completely in darkness, meaning we will die. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, this is the taqdeer. This is the taqdeer that cannot be changed. You and I cannot fight it. We cannot rebel against it. We are completely fixed in the motion which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, our time is fixed. Yes, the awesome hadith that the one who keeps good family ties and the one that goes on Hajj and Umrah can increase his life, as one of the blessings Allah gives. But for the most part, our life and our death is predetermined, and every moment that we have is a decrease in our life on earth. There's a hadith which has caused some problem for some people, and they accuse the Quran or the Sunnah of being inaccurate. The Prophet ﷺ asked Abu Dharr al-Ghifari, asked him, do you know where the sun goes when it sets? And the Sahabi says, Allah and His Rasul knows best. And so the Prophet ﷺ says, the sun, when it sets, it goes and it prostrates beneath the arsh of the throne of Allah. Then it asks Allah permission to rise again, and every day Allah gives it permission and it rises again. And soon it will prostrate and it will ask Allah for permission to rise, and Allah will not give it permission. And so then it will go backwards from where it came from, and meaning the sun will rise from the west. And this is of course when the day of Qiyamah comes. So the sun will rise from its sitting place, and that is why Allah says, "Ashamsu tajri li mustaqarrin laha, dhalika taqdiru al-aziz al-alim." So the Prophet actually then recited this verse. So some people have criticized the hadith sciences for being inaccurate, and said this hadith speaks about the sun moving. We know, as we said, now proven, the sun does move. And of course, what is understood from this hadith is not that the sun makes sujood like we make sujood. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the verse in the Quran that the seven heavens and the earth and whatsoever is in them, meaning everything in the universe, they make tasbih of Allah. They worship Allah and they make sujood to Allah. وَالشَّجِرُ وَالنَّجْرُ يَسْجُدَانِ. In Surah Rahman, Allah says, the trees and the stars make sujood to Allah. Of course, we do not see the stars and the trees making sujood, but they submit to Allah in the way Allah had decreed. And that Allah says, there is not a single thing, there is not a single creature in all of creation except that it makes tasbih of Allah, but we do not understand the tasbih. And therefore it's a beautiful link if you think about it, as Allah says, وَكُلُّمْ فِي فَلَقِ يَسْبَحُونَ, that the sun and the moon, they follow the course Allah had determined for them. They are swimming, and remember the link between swimming, yasbah, and tasbih, that as they are doing their job, as Allah had decreed, they are worshipping Allah. And so it is also an indication for us, everything in creation is a Muslim, everything submits to Allah, everything by doing its job, it is worshipping Allah. And so for us, we need to do our job, and that is our tasbih with our tongues, with our hands, with our actions, and to be on the course that will lead us to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accept from us and make us understand these ayat. We continue tomorrow, inshallah. Jazakallah khair. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.